The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Listening to Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Thank you for joining us today. I am your host, Gary Puckett. And today my guest is Superintendent Dr. Andrew Jackson. Our podcast comes to you on our nationwide media network. We operate with a team of 35 individual show hosts around the country. We also have 80 syndication partners and 17 different media domain platforms. We furnish on-demand media programming for over 3,300 small communities across the nation. We offer the Super Chat show format for school districts anywhere in the country. However, this edition is produced solely for the benefit of the stakeholders of Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Andrew, welcome to Super Chat. Let's get started. You know, I'd like to begin by asking if you can report to our listeners the results of the most recent state assessment testing. I'm, of course, referring to iLearn, iRead, and the SAT testing as well. What can you report?
Yes, I'm happy to report that to our listeners. For a little background knowledge for those that may not be aware, the SAT is now the high school kind of gateway exam is what they used to call. We used to have a sophomore end of course assessment that we used to give, and there also used to be an I-STEP. They have done different types of tests at the high school. A couple years ago, they moved it to the SAT. So all juniors across the state take the SAT, and then they use those scores to determine if a school student is what they call college or career ready. It's one way that you can earn graduation on top of the credits you have to get locally. You have to, you know, check a box whether or not it's the SAT or other ways to show that you're ready to graduate. So all juniors across the state take it. For the iLearn that came out a few years ago, it replaced I-STEP Plus, which replaced I-STEP. That's for all students in grades 3 through 8 take a language arts and math assessment. And then there's also a social studies assessment for just a 5th grade. But I'm going to focus really on the language arts and math because that's 3 through 8 and plus the juniors. So years ago, we had a strategic plan that we're going to be one of the top school districts in the state regarding our state assessment results. We want to be in the top 15%. There's around 290 school corporations in Indiana, and we wanted to be in the top 15%, which would be, you know, in the 40 to 45 rank area across the state. We changed that in 2022 with a new strategic plan, and we moved to core instruction, that we are going to focus on core instruction. And that by doing that and making sure that we provide the support for our teachers to do research-based best practices in the classroom, be consistent on how they're observed and evaluated, that the whatever the assessment system is at that point would results would show in that assessment system. Part of the reason why we did that, Gary, is because literally I've been here 9 years now. This is my 10th year coming up. And there have been 4 or 5 changes in the assessment system, either a new delivery method, a completely new assessment system, new cut scores, you name it. It's constantly changing. So to have a strategic plan regarding an assessment system when you don't know what it is, that's why we moved away from it, because of the constant changes. So with that, we're very happy with our results, and we saw some significant improvement. When you take the total number of students who passed both language arts and math, we were the 2nd highest in the area. We do want to be the highest in the area, and we feel like we can get there, but we were the 2nd highest in the area, and we ended up being ranked 48th in the state out of 290, which is not quite in the top 15%, but we're in the top 50, and I think we will see some additional improvements in the next couple of years as we continue on our strategic plan, providing core instruction and professional development for our teachers. So we're very happy with those results, and that's the average of the iLearn 3 through 8. And then the SAT added in there as well as a weighted average. And then, like I said, we were 2nd in the area, and 48th across the state. To be in the top 15%, we would have to be 44th or lower in terms of the rank. And then top 10%, which I think we can get to, we would need to be in the top 30 or 29 to get there. So very happy with the results. We saw some significant increases. And so it's really a testament, one, to the professional development and how serious our teachers are taking that. We do track a survey on how they feel like it went, and we've had very positive results. During our early release time, that we have a two-hour early release, four or five of those are actually training sessions for our teachers. So testament to their efforts. Kelly Roth has been leading that with our principals. And then our teachers have really done a great job on that piece of it. And then also a testament to our students and in terms of how they're doing with the state assessment as well. As you know, the state assessment results in general are low. And so it's hard to understand what those results mean when there are state averages below 50%. And what does that mean about that test? So it's hard to take that test and really understand how much students are learning. But it is a good opportunity for us to see where our standing is in the state and in the area to see if we're holding our own or making improvements. And we are certainly making improvements, Gary.
That's wonderful. Let me get back to the other category, which deals with the youngsters on the iRead part. How did that go this most recent year?
So unfortunately, the state has not released those final results yet. So we can't really share that. The state will eventually release the results, and until then, those results are embargoed. We basically are typically just under 95%. The state has a goal of 95%. The state average is high 80s, and we're always well above the state average. In the past, we've been around 92, 93%. I don't expect that to change much this year, but the actual results have not been released yet on that. But we are anxious to see what those end up looking like.
Okay. Well, in your experience, I mean, you've been around this a bit. I'm just curious, in our listeners may be curious as well, but why would the state hang on and embargo the iRead scores for so long? It just seems like it shouldn't take that long kind of thing.
Yeah, I am not sure what the delay is this year. Normally, it's not this long. So it has to be presented to the State Board of Education, and the State Board of Education actually approves the scores. So I honestly don't know what the delay is, if there was an issue with the test they're trying to determine, because sometimes they'll look at a test that when we have as many students take the test, there's about 30,000 students in a grade level. So, between 30 and 35,000 students took that test. There could be an item that a large number missed, and they look at that item and say, okay, was there something wrong with the test? Was something wrong with the item? So they do look at it after the results to see if they have to take out some invalid or unreliable items. So it might be that, but I honestly have not heard why. Sometimes they change the cut scores and they have to bring groups back in and relook at and establish a cut score. But as far as I know, that's not happening. So I honestly do not know why the delay has been. Back at the July State Board of Education meeting, they did present the SAT and the iLearn scores, and they approved them, and then they released them the next day for the public, or actually that afternoon. I just don't know why the iRead is delayed this year.
Okay. Well, that's a fair explanation. You know, shifting gears on you here, as we have talked a little last month, this is the hiring season for schools, specifically over this summer break period. So tell us about your new teachers that you have added recently.
We're happy to provide a list for our listeners of our new teachers. We are actually still looking for a couple of teachers, but we have hired a few new teachers this year. We have been able to reduce our turnover. We have about 220 teachers total. And my first couple years here, we were hiring almost 30 a year, and it's down to about 10 or less now. So we have done a good job with our strategic plan and our board providing the highest wages for our teachers in the area, which has helped us with turnover and retention. So we have Mr. Justin Dries, who's coming back. He's actually a graduate. He'll be teaching at the high school next year. Shannon Wells will be teaching at North Dearborn Elementary. Stephanie Painter will be teaching at East Central Middle School. Jessica Hostetler will be at North Dearborn, along with Tiffany Griffin. Some of you may remember Tiffany Griffin. She left for a while to work on some curriculum development, and she's coming back. She wasn't summoned, and now she's going to North Dearborn, so we're excited to have her back. Clayton Muncy will be teaching math at East Central High School. He's a graduate as well. We're happy to welcome him back. Cindy Meyer and Mary Weigel will both be teaching at North Dearborn Elementary. And then Caitlin Reeves will be teaching at North Dearborn Elementary as well. We also have a new member of the special ed department. It's officially an administrative position, but she'll be serving the role as a part-time school psychologist. Our listeners may remember that we separated from Rod several years ago to create our own special education, and we took those savings and reinvested it back into our special education program. And honestly, our special education program has an excellent reputation in the area in terms of how we serve our students, and they do a fantastic job. We need some additional school psychology support. We have one full-time school psychologist, so now we'll have another part-time school psychologist named Amber Wilworth, and she's actually a graduate as well from East Central High School. So we're very excited to welcome all those folks back, and we are currently looking for three elementary teachers, one at Bright and two at Summon, and then one high school social studies teacher. So unfortunately, I don't have those names yet because we're still in the process of interviewing, but they will certainly be on staff for the first day of school.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You know, one little quick follow-up question on the subject of teachers. You know, in recent years, and this is not just superintendents from Indiana that I speak with, it's really elsewhere as well. But over the past, I'll just pull out 3 years or so, the conversation has often turned to a teacher shortage. Has this improved at all in school districts around the country, do you think, or is it pretty much running the same?
I think it's probably gotten a little worse in my experience locally. As an example, we have an opening at Summit Elementary right now, and two openings at Summit Elementary, and we have an opening at Bright for an elementary teacher. My background is elementary education. I was an elementary teacher. When I got my first job, I was competing against 100-plus applicants easily, especially here at Summit Dearborn. Even when I first came here, we would have close to 30 applicants for a position like that. Now, these are late, and that's part of it, but we have 10 or less applicants for those positions. Even 3 years ago, 2 years ago, it would have been 20 plus. So it's very concerning. We have a high school social studies position right now, high school math that we filled recently. When you get a high school math or science opening, you're hoping just to get one applicant, honestly. And sometimes you have to look at your schedule and how you can absorb that and how you can move people around. So it is really difficult right now to find teachers. That's why we focus on retention and our salaries and benefits to try to keep people here as long as possible and attract people to teach here. And I don't know what the numbers are nationally. I assume it's similar, but it's still continuing to get even a little bit more difficult. It's not even staying level. It's actually continued to decrease in terms of the teacher pool.
Yeah, some states are worse than others. But that's an interesting current take on things, at least for the experience of your district and probably Southeast Indiana and maybe the state at large. But it's good to know. It's good to know. Well, you know, we are beginning a new academic year, and I was just curious if you had any special welcoming thoughts you'd like to share with staff and students.
First, I'd just like to let our listeners know that August 5th, our teachers will be coming back, and we provide all day for them to work in their rooms, and then we have open houses that afternoon, evening at the elementary schools. Open house will be 4 to 6. At the middle school, high school from 5 to 7. And we stagger those intentionally so that we have parents with students at both an elementary school and either the middle school, high school, they can travel between the two and try to make it to both open houses. We keep the middle school, high school the same since it's one campus, and you can just walk between the two buildings and attend both open houses. That's happening August 5th. August 6th, we welcome back all of our staff here at Central Office, and we have a large meeting in the Performing Arts Center. We're going to have some entertainment for them. We have a health fair before, ahead of time, working on our wellness committee and our wellness of our staff. We're going to have a guest speaker, and then I'm going to have some remarks, and then we're going to have a nice catered lunch, and then they go back to their buildings at the end of the day for some meetings. And I do want to mention some of the staff initiatives we do. So we worked on this right after COVID because, as we've mentioned in this podcast before and today that we are the highest paid in Southeast Indiana, but we also want people to feel welcome and part of something bigger. And so we've really made an effort to do different staff appreciation initiatives for all of our staff. We started this back in 2021 after the COVID year had a really rough year. We got everyone back and was really wanted to let them know we appreciated them. And we are going to continue to do all those things again. That includes the years of service pins that we give out, that they all new staff get a pin, and you get a pin for every 5 years. We actually have some staff members that are receiving, it's a couple bus drivers, a 50-year service pin. So that's pretty extraordinary that they've worked not just in schools for 50 years, they've worked at Summon Dearborn for 50 years. So that goes back to when this place started. You know, this is just our 51st year coming up. So it's pretty remarkable that they've been here for the entire time. So we certainly appreciate that. We have monthly staff luncheons that the board provides for our staff. Each month they do a luncheon and the board provides that for them. It's not a pitch-in or something like that. The board actually pays for their meal. We do a grill out every fall and spring where a central office goes to every building. And we have a little magnet we do with it. It's a magnet series, and they kind of get excited about the new magnet design that they keep, and it has the date and, you know, and the year on it. So we do that as well. We give onesies for our new parents and grandparents, and it has a logo of Summon Dearborn. It says, "Someone at Summon Dearborn loves me," and they ooh and all over that, and they enjoy that. And then we do a school spirit store as well, where we're unveiling some new styles this year, including a district-wide Summon Dearborn style. So you can buy an EC, a Bright, North Dearborn, Sunman, or Summon Dearborn apparel items. There's a coupon code that we give to our staff that they get one free item. And we've done this for several years. So we have several staff members that have three or four new, free items the board has provided, but they can also add some additional items at their cost as well. So all those things that we talk about, teacher turnover and teacher retention and staff retention, these are all part of our efforts to try to keep people here. So my final thoughts are, I'd just like to welcome all of our students, staff, parents back to a great school year. We have some great things in store. We have some real momentum on our student learning that we're excited to build upon. We have building projects that are be coming up with some bids, and we'll have more information on that, on some pretty significant improvements we're going to be making to our facilities. So we're excited about that. I hope that our listeners, particularly our parents and students and staff, had a restful summer and are ready for another great school year here at Summon Dearborn.
Wonderful. Well, you know, we all hear this all the time, but it is hard to believe we are entering yet another academic school year. Time flies. Well, I'd like to wish you, your staff, and above all your students, a productive year of success, learning, and advancement. Andrew, thank you for joining me here again on Super Chat.
Thank you, Gary.
So I have been your host, Gary Puckett, and we are happy that you have opted in to listen today and plan to join us here monthly, year-round. So until our next show, this has been Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman Dearborn Community Schools.